Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Welcome to the post-game podcast. Jerry had to leave at 10 a.m., so I've got the Eddie Scazzeri with me. Hello there, Eddie.
Hello, podcast people.
You know, one of the you are just back from your vacation. Mm-hmm. One of the guys that filled in for you, Michael Fliegelman,
mm-hmm.
he is an overnight producer. And I got to say, he did me a solid the one day, and I haven't even talked to him about this. I just was reminded of it. On Friday, after what I think the first Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I split right at 10 o'clock. Like 10:01, I was out the door. Well, one of the big bosses came looking for me and said, "Where's Al?" And you know, Fliegelman told him, Al had a doctor's appointment, had to get right out of here.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
That's a good cover.
That's a nice cover.
Yeah. And quick, right on the spot.
He goes, "Hey, I had some important appointment. He had to get right out of here."
Right.
Well, it's so nice. I didn't remember it the next all week when he worked.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remembered. I was like, oh, that was a really solid move.
How did you find out? Did he?
Because the big boss talked to me.
Oh.
And he said, "Oh, I came looking for you." He goes, "Wow, 10:01, right out the door." And he said, "But I guess you had some type of appointment," Fliegelman said. I go, "No, I didn't." I go, "But that was really nice of him.
That's a great
to cover for me."
Was that the architect?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's just that was really nice. Fliegelman didn't have to cover for me. He said, "Oh, I guess he left." You know, he could have pulled one of those moves.
Yeah.
But he had it ready to go.
But of course, Olive saw right through it.
He did.
Because he knows you.
He did. I've known him a long time. Yes. And my reasoning to him was, I go, well, like a lot of people don't even, they get to work from home. I'm here Friday. I just leave right at 10:01.
That's right.
Because the week's over.
Right, and there's no post-game podcast.
Exactly, no post-game podcast. So you're back from your trip. Let me ask you this. When you're a vacation guy, do you like to have a buffer day before or and after or not, like before you go right back to work?
I like to have the buffer day coming back.
I don't necessarily
need it unless it's just a crazy logistical situation with crazy flights or transportation or special packing.
But yeah,
because we had the Yule break before I came back for the one day, I was able to do a lot of that packing and all that prep stuff before. And so I came to work the one day, and then, but it was great to have the whole weekend because I came back Friday.
Oh, so you had a buffer weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't, like, there's certain people like Jerry Recco, he'll roll up. He'll take an overnight flight, land, and come right to work.
I know. Well,
I can't do that.
He does that not just like for vacations. He does that as a matter of course with his Rutgers trips.
Well, yeah. Well, that I feel like he doesn't have much of a choice though with the Rutgers games. But when you're going on vacation and you can set the days and you come back, he likes to come back like the afternoon before. Like, you know, you're rolling in your house at 6 or 7 o'clock at night from your vacation, and you go to work, you're getting up at 2 a.m. again the next morning.
Well, because especially if it's a short break and you're not traveling a long distance, I'm fine with it. But if it's a long with flights and everything, you know, you got to get your own house in order. Like,
yes,
at home, like, you know, it's you've been away for so long.
Yeah, I used to like a buffer day before, but I don't require that anymore. That's one thing I have gotten better at, like if only because we get home so early with our work day anyway. So I'm okay to go on the trip the very next day.
Yeah, agreed with that logic. But
yeah,
you know, but you and I also dog owners, so you have to make preparations for the dog.
Right.
I have to bring him to my sister's or what have you. You have to bring him to the doggy daycare.
Yeah. Was your dogs all fired up when you picked them up?
Oh yeah, yeah, But they have my two boys, the two younger ones. They went to my sister's house, and they have a good time there because
she's a German Shepherd, right?
Yes. Yeah, so she has four dogs.
Oh,
so she had six dogs, all large in the house. And Quail, who's older and had the stroke and everything, we actually had our friends came over and stayed at the house, and and stayed at the house for a week, which is good on two points: A, for the dog care, because she needs a little bit of special care, and also that your house is occupied.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So you had friends do it, because
yes.
I know there are certain, there are people in my neighborhood, in all neighborhoods, I guess, there's people who are dog walkers. Mm-hmm. That's their job. They're professional dog walkers. They have a business. And some of them have a house or dog sitting in your home
yes.
for vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I always found that to be, I would feel like that would be awkward.
Yes.
Unless, did they stay in your bedroom, your friends?
No, we have a spare bedroom.
Yeah, see, that's different.
Yes.
I have one bedroom.
Right. That's weird.
So the dog walker, who I would barely know, would then be sleeping in my bed.
And potentially
eating
having
my food where my children play.
Yeah. And potentially having, companionship and,
yes.
Rolling around on your bed.
Right. What if they make sweet love on my bed?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't want that.
No.
So that always felt awkward, although, and I wonder too, with the dog, my dog, would she be confused? Why is this person now living in this home?
Yeah, well, your dog also doesn't necessarily warm up to strangers that quickly.
Yeah.
Mine are,
that's the other problem.
Labs, they're goofy, and they're fine with,
they like everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So which part of, what was the worst part of your vacation?
Oh, the worst part?
Yeah, what part, and I know you're a very positive person, you don't really focus on the negative. I would have rolled up here with a ton of negative things.
Yeah.
But was there something that you think that could have gone smoother?
Well, when we were, the first few nights we stayed in Jackson, Wyoming, and they have a thing that they don't really salt the streets because of the wildlife, but they also didn't really use sand. And I have to tell you, the parking lot of the first place we stayed was an ice skating rink, and to the point where they had abandoned ski poles. They had just a bin of ski poles that you could use to walk to your room.
Wow.
Yeah, it was icy as hell.
Okay, so they're thinking of the animals. They don't want the salt on the paws.
Right, or not just your normal dog situation. This was for, they don't want the runoff of the salt affecting, because they have wildlife quite close. The big elk herd stays right outside of town in the winter, so they don't want anything getting into the groundwater and all this stuff. So no salt.
Wow.
Which was I was like, wow, okay, this, because it was really cold and icy.
Yes.
So I mean, but it was sort of adventurous and nobody fell, so it was fine. So I mean, that's, I guess that's a complaint, but they could have maybe run a plow over the parking lot, but other than that, it was fine.
And then what about, so you went with a group, but you did not know the group?
Correct. Now my sister, my eldest sister, and her husband went with us.
Oh, okay.
And they had gone to Iceland with us also. So, but there were, the group was 13 people. So there were, what's the math? 9 people that I did not know, met for the first time.
And was that okay? Was there anyone who was a domineering couple or domineering person that was annoying?
Well, there's always people who talk more, people who talk less. But it's all people who are going on this kind of a trip or have a sort of, not that we're all the same, but we have a likeness of mind about certain things. So,
yeah.
It's, you're getting a certain type of person who's going to want to go and dress up in big parkas and big boots and stand outside when it's 5 degrees.
And did it seem like it was should have been a shorter trip, a longer trip, or was just about right?
It was just about right. Now that they rate the trips about how much physical activity, because most of the people who go on these trips are 55 plus.
Retiree types?
A lot of retiree. We were a few of the ones that were still working. So it was the activity level for this, because it was winter, it was pretty low. Like, we did a few short walks, like maybe 3/4 of a mile, you know, in snow, but around the boardwalks of Yellowstone Park, where it's usually in the summertime, it's like, you know, thousands of people. But there was no one there, obviously. So so the physical activity wasn't that much. But on some of the ones in Iceland, we did like a few mile walks or hikes. So, but they have different levels of activity that you could do.
So you were in Jackson Hole for how long?
We flew in there a day early before the trip started on Saturday. So we stayed there Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, because you do the first day and then the second day around in Jackson, and then you drive up to, we drove up to the Old Faithful Lodge, sort of in the middle of Yellowstone Park. And from, we had to take special vehicles. Once you got past a certain point, the road is, they don't plow it. So it's sort of compacted because they do have these snow coaches that go over it all the time. But these are monster tires, which are kept at low pressure so they can maneuver in this, you know, feet of snow that is on the road. Because if you try to take a regular car, and the Park Service people told us that every year there's about 20 people who try to, oh, I can make it.
And I got a Subaru.
Yeah.
I've got a Jeep.
And of course they sink and then have to get, you know, rescued at their expense.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was a whole long stretch from just outside of like Grand Teton National Park to Mammoth Springs, which is at the northern end of Yellowstone. We were in these snow coaches.
That's cool. You have a photo of one of the snow coaches? Curious what they look like. I'm sure I could Google it.
I don't have one, but you could easily find
it. You could Google it.
Yellowstone snow coach.
And then, okay, so then you, then from there, were you in a different hotel every night on this trip?
Yeah, we were in, well,
you'd stay the night, the next day you'd be on the move type of thing?
Yeah, well, we stayed in, because we came in a day early, we actually had an extra night in Jackson, but everyone else for the tour had two nights in Jackson. Then you drive up to Old Faithful, and you had one night there. Then you drive up to Mammoth.
In Yellowstone.
And then Mammoth Springs, which is another, you know, hot springs, geyser area at the northern end of the park. We stayed there two nights. And then we drove, after the second day of exploring around that area, then we drove to Bozeman, Montana, which is outside the park to the north. So four different places. So we had two nights, one night, two nights, one night, which is six nights, which is what the trip was.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, I think that would be cooler than staying in one spot, although you have to constantly pack up, right?
That's a problem, too, because you have to kind of pack. Now, in Iceland, our luggage was always with us in the vehicle that we took. But here, you had to take whatever you might need for that day with you because the luggage was not with you. So that's a little bit hectic. Like, you know, okay, bags outside at, 7:45. We're leaving at 8, you know, that. So it's a little bit hectic, but you kind of get used to it. And you try not to, you know, go into the hotel room and just like have your suitcase explode.
Yeah, kind of living out of your hotel, your luggage.
Yeah, you try not to, you know, have it explode too much.
What was the coldest part of your body?
I believe it or not, and other people on the trip were commenting on it, I never went hat or hood.
What?
Never put the hat or hood on. You know me, I like it cold and I run warm.
Yeah.
So, like, when we were outside, first of all, if it was windy, I would have put on a hat or a hood, probably the hood, just because it's easier. You know, me with hat with the ponytail.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't windy and it was sunny, and we're not standing outside for 90 minutes, and if we are outside for any length of time, you are sort of moving around, which helps. But my hands, I would say, because I was wearing gloves.
Yeah.
My hands might get a little bit cold, or if you're standing on the snow without moving for a length of time, my feet would get a little cold. But they offered us hand warmers and toe warmers, which I did not use because it was really not that bad for me. But we woke up when we were at Yellowstone. We got in there and we saw Old Faithful erupt at right after sundown. And then we had dinner. And then one of the guides said he was offering a sunrise hike. And so we went out there. We saw Old Faithful go off again right before sunup, which was very cool. And then we did about, this was one of the longer walks. We did about a mile and a half walk. And the ambient air temperature was about 5 degrees. But, again, not windy.
And this Old Faithful going off, is this something that is scheduled, or is this a naturally occurring thing that happens?
It's not scheduled, but it will erupt every 75 to 90 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And it has been doing so for as long as, as soon as the park was, air quotes, discovered by, you know, white man. So that's why they call it Old Faithful. And that's why it's such an attraction, because it's going to go off pretty spectacularly every 75 to 90 minutes. So you just, you know, it's Old Faithful.
Yeah. And what was the most interesting animal you got to see?
I would say the wolves, really. Even though that was from a distance of about maybe a half mile. But they have spotting scopes and binoculars. They have binoculars for everybody, so you didn't have to bring your own, although you could if you wanted. And they had the basically a spotting scope, like a telescope, but used for not looking at the stars. And that really brought them close. And we were close enough on two occasions to hear them howl, which was very cool. And you can actually see them, you know, doing the whole neck back howl thing.
Did you see them enjoying a meal, like eating an animal?
No, but we saw a kill that was, they had killed, I guess, the night before. They had taken down a bison, which is impressive in its own right.
And they, was it just bones?
It was over by the side. It was about, I don't know, 10 yards off the side of the road. And the guy spotted it because they saw all these ravens on it, because the wolves were done with it. And then the ravens and the coyotes, we saw coyotes, were very cool. We were there kind of picking at it and going over the body and all that. I mean, it's grisly, but that's what it is, you know.
You sent a video of a slow-moving, I guess that was a buffalo, right?
Yes.
And it had the snow on its fur.
Uh-huh. And that was huge, right? I mean, if you look at, like, think about, like, how close I am in the car.
Yeah.
It's a big animal.
Yeah, but seemed very calm and relaxed.
Yeah, we got caught on our way up to Mammoth Springs. There was a herd in the road, and we just kind of had to, they were walking, but did not care, and they don't like to pressure or make the animals nervous, so they just kind of creep along and kind of look for an opening to get by them, really.
Yeah.
And then there was like a curve coming up, and they all went off to the side. We were able, but it was about a 15-minute delay. But nobody cared because you're all just taking pictures of buffalo, which are like right next to the vehicle you're in.
And where, what other parts of the country did some of the people who were with you come from?
St. Louis, Atlanta region, Long Island, San Francisco.
So areas that wouldn't normally be seeing a herd of buffalo.
Yeah, correct. Unless you live in Wyoming, that's not really happening for you. Or you live next to one of the commercial buffalo farms, if you will.
If you had a vacation just in Jackson Hole or in Montana, which place would you
have picked? I would go Montana.
Really? Why is that?
Yellowstone's in Wyoming, so is Jackson. But, you know, Jackson is like a ski town, you know, and has its little downtown area. But there's nothing like in, like, Jackson itself. Right outside of town, they have the big elk herd and all that. But Yellowstone itself, it's just more, there's, you know.
Is it very touristy?
In the summer, it is. But the park itself, it's touristy only from the fact that there's a lot of people there. Like, I forget the numbers, but it was some ridiculous percentage of, like, all the wintertime visitors is a morning in the summer peak season in Yellowstone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, if you go to Yellowstone in the winter,
mm-hmm.
the things to do are really is just the trip you went on.
Well, something like that. Or, you know, there's different, many different companies that offer these trips, but...
Well, like, were the hotels packed?
They were pretty full. I would say because you can either get into that area via snow coach from a tour, or you can pay for a private, you know, or like a bus almost to get on a snow coach to get up there, or you can take a snowmobile in. And there were a lot of snowmobile tours that we saw when we were on the snow coaches. You would see a line of snowmobiles coming down. So, but if you're going up there on your own, you better know what the hell you're doing.
Because right, if you're not part of a tour.
Yeah, I mean, it's serious, like you get stuck out there, you're dead.
Yeah, you know? Just knowing what to wear.
Yes.
How long to stay outside before you better start.
To have an ability to make a fire or have some sort of a stove or something to keep yourself alive. It's serious conditions.
You have any cool meals that you wouldn't normally have?
Well, we had a lot of steak, and there was some bison steak, which I had but I've had that before. And it's almost like, it's very much like beef. So there's not much difference. I had some sort of an elk stew or something, but it was all so I really couldn't pick out like any sort of gamey taste or anything like that.
How was the coffee out there?
Hotel coffee.
Terrible.
You know how those things
are.
They always give you like the equivalent of breakfast blend. Nothing against breakfast blend from Green Mountain Coffee, but that's not my favorite of there because it's weak.
No, but they didn't have like a special like Montana or Jackson Hole type of homemade coffee.
No, they did not. But the coffee the coffee at, like, once you got out of the room, you get out to breakfast, it was like a more real coffee, a stronger coffee, which I like. Not an espresso, but like a stronger coffee.
Yeah, you like a dark roast.
Yeah, yes, exactly, a dark roast.
Yeah, they're passing off those breakfast blends.
And they would, not a fan. And then they would have, the vans or the snow coaches that we were in, they also packed like thermoses of coffee, and they gave you a little Natural Habitat, NatHab cup to pour it in. And this was nice. They had Bailey's you can put in it.
Oh, nice.
So that was sweet.
So you would recommend this travel company?
I love it, yeah.
And then what is the name if people
NatHab.
Are interested? NatHab. NatHab?
Yeah, the website is nathab.com, but it's Natural Habitat Adventures is the full name. Not cheap, but, you know, but you wouldn't expect it, like, you know, it's special sort of conditions, and they're taking you to sort of pristine places, so.
And did you ever, during the trip, go, you know, we paid a lot of money for this, they should have...
No, because
so you
like
were, you I, felt I, good about your well, payment.
And I've said, I don't know if I've used this phrase, like, you know, the guides sometimes would sort of maybe like the accommodations, it's not like a 5-star situation or anything. And I said to one of the guys, nobody's coming on this trip because of the accommodations or the meals.
Right.
You're not there really for that. If it's very nice, it's fine. But not everything was fine. But in terms of a hotel, all you need is a bed and a head, as I've said many times.
Yes.
And then for your meals, just some bread or whatever. So it doesn't have to be. And you're not there for that. It's not like a posh spa situation.
Yeah. You need a bed, a head, which is the toilet.
Correct.
And bread.
Right.
Those three items, and you're good.
And you're good because you're there to see really cool things.
I'm going to Google this company.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Yeah.
When I retire, I'm going to have a lot of places to go.
Yeah, you are. And they go all over the world. They have Antarctica, New Zealand, Australia, the Churchill up in Canada, where you can go watch polar bears. Well, there's still some left.
right.
And, you know, all sorts of interesting Greenland before we buy it.
Yeah, we're going to buy it, and then I'll just be able to go there.
All these cool places.
All right. This sounds very interesting.
It is. And again, not cheap, not crazy. Not crazy, but not cheap. That's, you know, we don't do this every year. We've done this with this or another. We did it a few others with Lindblad Expeditions, which is more ocean-based. You know, you're on a boat.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we've only done since we've been married, I think, 4 of them. So, you know, it's, you know, yeah, not cheap, but not crazy. especially if you're not doing it every year.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Eddie, we'll do the warm-up show. I did that with Jerry Recco, and we'll be back here tomorrow and Tuesday.
And Jerry's, it's a home game for Recco, so he'll be
here. Yes, Jerry will be here tomorrow.
And he'll be doing the postgame most likely.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
He's got a, I think, a 6:30 tip-off tonight, which is...
Oh, that's fun.
Which
for
is
him?
Good for him.
Yeah.
Happy for him.
Yeah.
All right, cool!